All right, we are back with Blair and Barker for a Friday. Reminder, we'll be doing Blue Jays talk following tonight's game against the Boston Red Sox, the first of three games between the Jays and the Red Sox. Jose Berríos on the mound for the Blue Jays, Brian Baio for the Boston Red Sox. Vladdy Jr. not in the lineup today as a result of that being hit in that the right forearm by that pitch. John Schneider saying that the Jays will determine whether or not he's available for pinch hit duty tonight. For the Boston Red Sox, Marcelo Meyer, one of their, one of their top prospects who has become an important part of the team because of the moves they've made. He has been placed on the bereavement list, so he will not be available tonight as the team's open, as I said, a three-game series. The Jays pitching matchups, they get Chris Bassitt tomorrow against Lucas Giolito, Eric Lauer against Walker Buehler in the third game. They miss Garrett Crochet. I mean,
smells like sweep.
There's no Devers in that team. No Bregman.
I smell it. You smell it.
You're missing Crochet.
I smell it.
The Jays are 45-37. Boston's 2 under .500 of 40-43. Now, I wouldn't suggest that the Jays could necessarily bury the Red Sox, but because a lot will depend on what happens when the Jays take on the Yankees in the biggest series of the year next week at the Rogers Center.
You
are. But yeah, it's almost setting up too well for the Blue Jays.
It really is.
To be honest, isn't it? I was sitting there looking at it.
It's like it's meant to be.
It's
got a little feel of that.
It does. It does. You factor in that, you know, Bo loves that ballpark. I presume Vladdy will be back at some point. Mm. Vladdy likes hitting in that ballpark. I mean, it's just...
You know, I was wondering what the machine is that they're bringing on the plane.
They do have... They have that machine where you can basically program the Knights pitcher into the machine.
Yeah.
Right?
That thing's big, though. Well, I'm not sure it'd fit on the plane. I mean, too big. I'm curious.
You could kick some khakis off to get it on.
I mean, that's half the plane.
You take off some seats. I mean, do you need your hydration spell?
Well,
you probably do need your hydration spell.
Well, I need one right now.
Yeah, you do. That's true, but
I do. Who don't need one?
When I think of hydration specialist. I think of bartender.
Call a bar.
I don't even know if they have a hydration specialist. I think they traded their hydration specialist to the Mets, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we were talking to the AA manager yesterday, and he was talking about they got everything that.
Oh yeah, they've got
everything. AA.
Well, they've got
a walking water fountain and a. Never.
Not like the Stone Age when you play.
A water bottle in your back pocket. I'm staying. How did I ever make it to the big leagues, Jeff? It is amazing how I did it.
I hear they got a machine that chews the tobacco for you.
Does it really? Wow.
Yeah. And anyhow.
Wow.
So yeah, we'll have to find out. Maybe when Shulman comes on, we can ask Dan.
Yeah, he might know.
Dan, do some.
Well, he was on the plane. Maybe he had to sit in a different seat.
Maybe it was beside him. Do the seatbelt up for the machine.
We'll see.
I wonder if we give it. Could it be R2-D2? You know, just a minute. I gotta do the seatbelt up in the plane. It's interesting.
Well, you know it.
It throws my idea that. Because John also made the point. It's just baseball. People say, guys are hit better on the road and at home. And my whole point is, that doesn't make sense because the road ballparks are different. Bo rakes at Fenway. So you can't say Bo hits worse on the road than he does at home. He rakes at Fenway. Some parks he isn't so good on. Other parks he is.
I mean, they're deep enough into the season now, being on the road, that it's a thing. If they're bringing machines on planes, it's a thing.
And I guess there is a deal with routine. I guess there is, but if you're bringing machines on the plane,
Bo's actually been sitting at home thinking about how he can fix the road. Dum 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 dum.
You were so
and them bad. Games are important. Biggest series of the season.
Okay, we've got an insider. somebody deep, deep inside the Blue Jays organization. Saying they're referring to the traject machine. And this person who's deep inside says, I'm not sure if that fits in the plane. Curious, though.
Well, he did say it was big. I don't know why you're getting
bigger
quiet.
Than a bread box? Well, it's just, it's a mystery. I like mysteries.
It's just intriguing to hear that a dude who's having the year that Bo's having is actually sitting at home thinking, man alive, like everything else I've tried, I haven't tried this. Let's kick a couple dudes off, put that on.
Well, he has tried. He's been using it at home.
I'm talking about on the road.
Let's say you're saying well, it's just Bo? I would say it's because of Bo?
I'm sure a lot of it is. He did mention that.
It's a mystery, Kevin.
It's not a mystery. It's a
Deep Throat and find out what it is.
Who's Deep Throat?
You never watched All the President's Men. Do you know about Watergate?
You're an idiot.
Well, Deep Throat was the government source that leaked all the stuff.
So who is that? Who is that with the Jays?
Well, I'm just saying, everybody, you haven't heard Deep Throat before? I mean, I know you've heard of Deep Throat, the movie, which is different.
I was hitting homers and catching passes
but
from
Deep
the quarterback.
Throat, no, Deep Throat was a name.
Five letters on my jacket.
Five letters in my jacket.
So no, I'm trying to edumacate me.
B-A-R-K-E-R isn't five letters, it's six.
You're an idiot. I had five. I don't need six. It's not six sports. It's five.
Anyhow, so you don't know who Deep Throat is. So that just Deep Throat is
actually,
it's not
the fact that I don't know who it is. I don't,
care who it is. All right.
That's where we're at in this conversation.
It's just a generally.
I don't know what you're trying to do with why they brought the machine on the road.
Because all I'm saying is we need someone, Deep Throat is someone inside the organization who will tell you something anonymously. This is what I'm saying. Anyhow, we got.
I'm sure I know who that is. That text. He doesn't know.
Well, no, he said he's surprised.
I know who it is.
It may not.
The text.
Anyhow, we've got Blue Jays tickets to give away. Should we do it now? Or should we wait until after BA? Let's do it now. Why don't we do it now? Because you know what? We've been giving you the chance to win Blue Jays tickets all season long here in Blair and Barker.
Mm.
All you have to do is text the correct answer to our daily baseball trivia question to 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. I can't believe you didn't know who Deep Throat was. Our last question and answer was, he enjoyed two separate stints with the Blue Jays. Before his first stint in Toronto, he played exclusively in the NL, including with the Houston Astros, before they returned to the American League. Later in his career, he rejoined the Blue Jays, who traded him away to the Yankees for two position players. The answer was Jay Happ. Today's question is to win tickets to see the Jays and Angels at the Rogers Center on July 4th.
Mm.
4th of July.
That's cool.
He's a pitcher who played parts of 9 seasons in the majors. He broke in with the Angels and enjoyed his best season in Anaheim as he cobbled together. Cobbled. That's a word I love to use all the time. Boffo. That's a great writer's word. Cobbled means pieced together. A 16-4 record. It's solid, solid, Boff. That was a solid. That is a great word.
Just read
word.
The thing.
Yeah. I get it. I didn't even know that. Anyhow, his Blue Jays career was off to a promising start after signing as a free agent, but was derailed due to injury. Again, he's a pitcher who played parts of 9 seasons in the majors. He broke in with the Angels and enjoyed his best season in Anaheim as he cobbled. That's outstanding. As he cobbled together a 16-4 record, his Blue Jays career was off to a promising start after signing as a free agent, but was derailed due to injury. You can text the answer to 590-590 for your shot to win. See rules at sportsnet.ca/590. Standard massage and data rates may apply.
What's the matter with you?
That's the name. Get it? Cobbled?
Yeah. You say parts of 9 seasons or 9 seasons?
Parts.
So if he had 9 seasons and he didn't get his 10th one, that stinks, man. That's almost like getting swept in the World Series. Might have to pay somebody off to get that extra year. The extra year is a huge deal.
Oh, I mean,
dude.
The extra year guarantees
like you can't even joke about that. That's a giant deal.
That's why they send out press releases when guys get 10 years.
Like,
I mean,
Jimmy Garcia,
like
when he got
pension,
it. Right? That's a lot. You getting paid bukus of money for lots of time. For till you're not living anymore, which is kind of cool. So that's all. That's all I heard about all that, because you were horse laughing something.
Well, it was just it was just Boffa was reading, reaching heights it was like Shakespeare. I mean, it's some of the best writing I've read today. It was just really good. It was really well done.
You think this lineup will miss a beat without Vladdy in it tonight?
Yeah.
Well, Bayo throws sinker in, sweeper away.
Vladdy's a beast in Boston. You know that as well. Well, take a look at his numbers. Take a look at his numbers and then get back to me.
This Vladdy?
He was earlier this year, too. I do believe he had a good series earlier this year in Fenway. Anyhow, I'm tired of talking about the Red Sox and the and the Jays. I want to talk about the best team in baseball. That's why we're bringing in Brian Anderson, Tampa Bay Rays TV analyst. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well, boys. You've caught me at an interesting time. This is the first extended period of time that I took off this year. So I always try to take a week off when the kids get out of school to be able to spend some time with them, and then take another week off before they go back to school. This is the team was just in Kansas City. They're in Baltimore tonight. I am in Tampa, Florida, enjoying the wonderful weather and the kids swimming at the pool.
Wow. Oh, well, listen, we appreciate you.
We do
appreciate you joining us then. Quite frankly, I wouldn't have done it in your position, but we do appreciate.
Well, it's not every day that a Ray says they're the best team in baseball.
Yeah, we needed to
so
go.
So we had to get you on.
We couldn't get Yandy on. We figured we'd go to you. Are they the best team in baseball?
I really do believe that. I when you think about, all of these teams, there seems to be a fatal flaw, an Achilles heel, something that they don't do particularly well. I would be hard-pressed to find over the past 5 or 6 weeks when this team really developed an identity. You know, they were all over the map early in the year. You're watching them play, and you're like, what kind of team are you? What are you trying to do? And they just seemed to be, they just didn't have an identity. And then all of a sudden, the starting pitchers, there was an adjustment made by them as a group about the way that they were being attacked by opposing offenses. The bullpen started to fall into shape. They started to do a much better job of catching the baseball. And then offensively, they started to develop an identity. And if you go back over the last 5 or 6 weeks, they're number two in Major League Baseball in home runs. And they're number one in Major League Baseball, or top two or three in home runs, and number one in stolen bases. Now, you may see that for a week, 10 days. You don't see that over 5 or 6 weeks, where a team is up in that, runners in scoring position average, they're in the top two or three, batting average, slug, OPS, all of the meaningful categories offensively. And, oh, by the way, pitching too, they are, over the last, like I said, 5 or 6 weeks, they are dominant. I mean, across the board. And so, again, when you break this team down, starting rotation, they've thrown more innings than any other starting rotation out there and have one of the best ERAs in Major League Baseball. The bullpen has rounded into form, and they are absolutely locked down. They're as good as a bullpen can get. They're healthy. They give you a lot of different looks. So that covers the pitching end of things. They catch the ball very well. So defensively, they complement that pitching staff. And then offensively, we just made the point about the stolen bases. The extra base hit has been, something that this team has been picking up on. Home runs from Brandon Lau, Junior Caminero. Yandy Diaz is starting to pick up the pace as far as extra base hits go because he's getting the ball in the air more often. But on top of that, they've got tons of speed. You think about Chandler Simpson, Jake Mangum, Josh Lowe, all these guys that can steal bases, that put a ton of pressure on the defense, that can take the extra base, go first to third, second to home, steal a bag if need be. Jose Caballero is their new Ben Zobrist, who will play anywhere at any time. He leads the American League in stolen bases, and he's not even an everyday player. He's a part-time guy. I mean, he gets out there more often than not, but he's not an everyday player and still leads the league in stolen bases. Yeah. So, on top of all of that, they have started to play small ball, sacrifice bunt, bunt for hit. All of these different things. I mean, I am hard-pressed at this point to find something that they are not doing at a very high level right now. And without a doubt, not only are they the best team in baseball right now, they are the most well-rounded team in baseball right now. There's nothing that they don't do well.
I'm just going to put some numbers out here for evidence. I'm just looking at their game. It's amazing what you can find out when you look at a team's game notes. Jonathan Aranda is a career-best 11-game hitting streak, a career-best 14-game on-base streak. Josh Lowe has reached base safely in 30 of 37 games this season, 11 of his last 12. Jake Mangum, he's hitting 17 of his 25 games since returning from the IL. Junior Caminero, guess what? He's hit safely in 9 of his last 11 games. I mean, Yandy Diaz hit safely in 15 straight games. I mean, you go down this lineup, Brandon Lau, hitting streak of 13 games. I mean, it really is remarkable. And that can't all be. It can't all be playing in that ballpark, can it? Because they got the best road record, as far as I can tell. And if I'm not mistaken, they've got the best home or the best winning percentage against teams above 500 in the AL as well. I mean, I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah, no, you've just hit the nail on the head with all of that stuff. You know, we were on a road trip not that long ago, went into Boston, actually played sloppy baseball and split with them in a 4-game series. And then then rolled into the New York and swept the Mets.
Yeah.
Just right off the field, just took care of business. And, they're playing with a very high level of confidence because, again, they know who they are. They know that what they do well, they know what their strengths are. Like I said, I don't know if you could find really a weakness at this point. And, and they just are clicking on all cylinders. And you're so right when you start talking about, you just went through 4, 5, 6 guys in the snap of a finger.
Yeah.
So we had a graphic back when I was still doing games, which was at the end of last week. But we had in the last, I think it was the previous like 30 games, 35 games in that range. But it was the runs batted in by order in the lineup. And you would not have believed it. Like basically at that point, you had like the first three hitters had driven in like 48, 49 runs. 7, 8, 9 had driven in like 44, 45. I mean, they were right there. And then of course the middle of the lineup, the 4, 5, and 6, they were in the 50s, 55, 56, but the top of the lineup was, 47, 48, but the bottom of the lineup was in the mid 40s. So you literally, when you looked at production 1 through 9, there's not a soft landing spot either. I mean, there are guys that can hurt you in different ways all up and down that lineup. And it's been really amazing to watch how this team has just kind of found itself. And like I said, now they're playing with such a confidence. A lot of that starts with, hey, offensively, we know that we can score runs any way imaginable in baseball. We can bunt, we can hit home runs, we can take extra base hits, we steal bags, we can do all of that. And then, oh, by the way, our starting pitchers are dominant. They're all four of the guys can, or five of the guys can be dominant on any given night. And on top of that, they're getting deeper into games relative to their peers. And that therefore that keeps the bullpen fresh, which is a really good bullpen. So, I mean, they have the perfect formula going right now. There's no question about that. And they're making things look easy. We had a game not that long ago, it was Baltimore, I believe, where Baltimore scored 8 runs
right
in the top of the second inning. And Baltimore's up 8-0. And I remember making the comment, well, yeah, if you're going to fall behind like that, do it early, whatever. You're not even imagining what's going to happen. They load the Rays load the bases in the bottom of the second inning, and they don't get anything. So it's still 8-0. Doesn't faze them one bit. All of a sudden, 3 in the bottom of the third, 1 in the bottom of the fourth, 4 in the bottom of the fifth, and now all of a sudden you're a tie game. And then they score 4 more in the bottom of the seventh. This is the interesting thing, fellas. So when the second inning was over, the Orioles 8-0 lead. From that point on, the Orioles, no runs on no hits. They didn't have a hit past the second inning. The Rays, from the second inning on, 12 runs, 17 hits. I'm telling you, I've never seen a team take an 8-0 deficit at the major league level and make it look so easy. It's astounding what they're doing right now. It really is.
B.A., what's the secret sauce for keeping the rotation healthy?
I wish I knew. I think that's why everybody's holding their breath because, the Rays, they were the team that started the opener. Sergio Romo, however many years ago, they were the opener. They were always playing, reindeer games with the way that they started off ball games. Now it's like it's 1972 all over again. We've got five guys. We run them out there. We let them pitch as deep into the game as is allowed these days. You know, get them through sick. That's that, you know, and Drew Rasmussen's been a little bit held back because he had that third surgery. So he's been kind of a five guy. Occasionally he'll get to six, but they had a complete game this year. That's always big news for the Rays. They, you know, they'll go years without a CG. So they've had one of those. You know, they just have become much more traditional. And I don't know, you know, outside of just making sure that these guys are up, you know, with the training staff, they have them up to speed on how they feel and all of that. I think it's just a matter of they're just going to keep running them out there. And, oh, by the way, we heard from Eric Neander today that Shane McClanahan is going to be getting off of a mound here shortly. Yes, and they are eyeing a potential return at some point in August. And so if that goes according to plan and you add a McClanahan to this rotation already, I don't know who goes out of the rotation. I don't know what you do with them. Certainly someone's going to go because he's going to pitch, but it could be a case of the rich get richer.
But yeah, you've been coming on this show forever. I've never heard you this excited, which is kind of cool talking about the Rays. I mean, the underground city, all the things that are coming into play here. Man, I love this. I don't want to burst the bubble here.
Of course.
Say they make the playoffs. They have a home field series. You're telling me, because I'm sure that the commissioner can't have it where your home games are at now. You would have to move them somewhere. This team can handle that? Like moving to a different stadium, preparing for that, when they've sort of got comfortable routine-wise, figuring out how to handle this
part. Man.
I know, but it's just BA, it's just a lot. You think this team can handle that mentally?
I do. I do for a number of different reasons. Remember, this is the same team over the last couple of years that have lost their home ballpark and have had to move into the Yankees spring training facility to make their ballpark. It took them a minute to get adjusted there and start playing well there. But all the while they were playing well on the road. And you remember what it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, here recently where they lost their spring training facility.
Right.
And so they had to train over in Orlando for a couple of weeks and then train in Tampa for the last month of spring training. This is a team that they are used to being thrown curveballs, and they react accordingly. The coaching staff, they've seen it all. These players, they're young, they're resilient, they're plucky. That's I don't think it's going to bother them one bit. I think if anything, it just adds fuel to their fire. Like, okay, and now they're going to make this move. We'll show them, you know, and so we'll see how all that plays out. But I really do not think that it messes with the psyche of this team, because they have shown and proven time and again that when they have been thrown for a loop or they've been given a raw set of circumstances, that they still can, you know, proceed and you know, proceed well and get things done and win.
BA, listen, man, you're a champ for doing this. I really appreciate it. Enjoy your time off. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the kids. And yeah. We really do appreciate
enjoy the weather.
It, my friend. Be
thanks,
well.
Thanks, buddy. You're the best.
Yeah. Hey, listen, boys, I love you guys. I love the show, and I'm excited to come on whenever you'll ask me.
Thanks, BA.
Thanks, man.
It's awesome. See you, buddy.
It. Take care.
All right, boys. Take care.
See you. All right. Brian Anderson, man. Rays analyst. The Rays are
he's fired up.
Well, you know, like I said, when you read the game notes, and I do, I'm that guy that still reads game notes. Kevin, everybody's on some sort of roll. So yeah. Everybody's hitting, you know, is it for however many games in a row, or is driven mm-hmm. in a run for however many games in a row? It is scary.
Yeah, just the Rays. What BA was talking about. They are second in starters innings pitched in baseball. They have the fourth fewest innings pitched from their pen.
And what have we said
since
about
May? Absolutely.
That
power
is a predictor
plays.
Of that's postseason success.
There you go. Since May 20th, their record, they're first in baseball. They're first in runs. They're first in average. They're first in on-base percentage. They're first in slugging. They're first in ERA. They're first in opponent's average.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost like you can't argue with what BA's saying.
And they may get Shane McClanahan back, rested.
I mean, that's gravy. If you get him back because of what your other five, they got five starters.
Well, and this is the thing that because I keep reading all the national reporters saying Pete Fairbanks on the trade. Why? If you're the Rays.
Well, I mean, because he ain't coming back next year. That's why.
You are the Rays.
You're the underground city.
But, man, you can't.
You can.
No, I'm saying
if not, I mean, the even better reason now you're winning. You're the best team. I mean, if anybody could do it, it'd be them.
Yeah, you'd and God knows they've probably got another arm in the organization hidden away someplace. It's throwing 112, and
Jays will take Pete.
Know about it. Any team would take him. Back of your bullpen?
Maybe not any team, but
most teams would for the back end of the bull. I mean, he wouldn't. He doesn't necessarily have to be your closer, but a lot of teams would certainly.
You have to be careful how you use him, but keep him healthy.
That is something else.
Not pitching him will help. They're not pitching him a ton. That helps.
Yeah.
When you do pitch him, you get the best out of him, and you don't abuse him, and he can sit down there and hang out and talk to fans. His rotation's going seven.
But the thing is,
crazy.
You know, you look at. They were 500 not so long ago. It's not like they've been the most dominant team in the American League from the get-go. But as I was looking, since they hit the 500 record, they've had like seven games where they've scored double-digit runs.
Yeah.
They've had three games where they've scored more than 14 runs. It's just, it's silly how good they are. And they're in Baltimore, by the way, tonight against the Red Sox.
No.
Or against the Orioles. They're there in Baltimore tonight against
you.
The Orioles.
Wow. Caminero's got 20 big ones.
Yeah.
They got three guys with 12 or more homers. Brandon Lau, Caminero's got 20. Yandy Diaz has got 12.
Caminero's going to be a pain in the ass in this division for years.
He's a Rays player. Just like.
He's just going to do stuff.
He's not great at one thing. He's really good at all things.
Yeah.
It's like you just kidding me.
Yeah.
It's I want to hate the Rays, but you can't.
No, because they do. Listen, I made this point. I don't think they're a boring team. I've been saying all, you know, other years, I don't think they're a boring team. I like watching them play.
Go, Rays, go.
There you go.
I'm not sure I like when their team comes out and says they're the best team in baseball.
I love it. Good. Get some swagger in your ass. Absolutely.
The Rays are better off when they're under the radar. Nobody even knows they're in the East.
You seen Yandy Diaz. He looks like it. If anybody's going to say it, it should be Yandy Diaz. He got the eye black going all the way down the side. I don't know.
That's the football movie. The football movie. Whatever that movie is.
Yeah, football players do that all the time. They do all sorts of weird stuff. It's like they put stuff in their face and all this stuff.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, they do. You've seen them. They've got the eye black that run all the time. Yeah, they've got basically their entire face covered.
Soccer players would never do that, would they?
No, they don't need it.
They play at night.
They don't need it. No, they don't need it.
No?
No, they don't need to get motivated.
Ball's pretty big. They're kicking.
They don't need it.
It's a pretty big ball. They're kicking.
I don't even know that. Half of that is.
I don't like saying the Rays are the best team in baseball. It gives me the shivers because I can just see.
Got some swagger.
I can see like a Dodgers Rays World Series. Three people tuning into that, and we're two of them.
Dan Shulman.
Let's be real.
Dan Shulman.
Can you imagine the Dodgers going to Steinbrenner Field?
Dan Shulman is our Blue Jays play-by-play.
If it happens.
Are you done?
Nope.
Dan Shulman is our Blue Jays play-by-play voice on Sportsnet. He'll have the call of the game tonight. Maybe he can tell us about the super-secret machine the Jays have taken on the road with them. Dan Shulman joins us next. It's Blair and Barker. You're out of control on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Whatever does it, buddy.
Very disturbing image. Not this one. Let's bring in Dan Shulman.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, it was nothing to you. You just the misfortune of the middle of a conversation when the commercial ended. You're in Boston, Dan. Thank you for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Folks showing up with pitchforks and torches, you know, to get a Craig Breslow for the Devers trade. This is the first time they've been back since then, right?
This is the first time they've been home. First of all, do you like what I've done with the place?
Yeah,
if people want to know what a big league broadcast booth
looks
This is a big league broadcast booth right here. So there's a big league announcer.
Oh, look at that. And there's a big league statsman right behind you, Scott Carson.
Right up there.
Yeah.
This is America's most beloved ballpark, and
right.
It has a lot of so yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what the reaction is tonight. It's you're right, Jeff. Like they haven't played a game at home since they traded Rafael Devers, which is crazy. They went on they took him off the bus or took him off the plane or whatever had happened, and then they went out west and went 3-6, and they've been the worst offensive team in baseball since the trade. And they don't have Alex Bregman still; he's still on the IL. So they're not playing. Their pitching's been okay, but they're not in a good place right now. And this is a series. If the Blue Jays play well, they should win. But I am curious if the Blue Jays, you know, get out to an early lead, if it gets ugly tonight for the Red Sox, if the fans voice their displeasure and make their feelings known.
You know, Kevin and I have gone back and forth for a while about the Jays home road splits. And, you know, I never pay much attention to it because you don't play in the same ballpark on the road, all this stuff. So Kevin asked John Schneider about it. Lo and behold, John Schneider tells us that apparently they've taken a machine from home with them on this trip. And he said it took up quite a bit of room in the plane. Because it's Friday, quite frankly, and it's been a crazy sports day in Toronto, we're trying to turn it into a mystery. Is this the traject machine that they've taken on the road with them?
This is news to me. I'm hearing about it for the first time from you, so I'm not sure. It's funny, you know, I know, and I think it was last year, where Guerrero and others, for a while, had much better numbers on the road than they had at home. So I've never placed a whole lot of stock in home road numbers. I think there's just, you know, a little bit of a random nature to this kind of stuff. I guess you could say the same about day and night. Unless you're the kind of guy who stays out too late at night and then you can't play the next day. And then maybe there's a reason for that, that sort of thing. But I didn't hear your interview with Schneid. So you're the first person telling me about this. So I gotta leave this mystery for you to solve, Mr. Blair.
Well, no, it was about Bo. I asked why the splits were so dramatic between his home stats and his road stats. And that's when John went into the machine was very big that was being put on the plane. I guess Bo likes some machine that he was bringing that he uses at home that sort of locks him in. I'm sure it's that machine that looks sort of like the guy they're facing that day. And it sort of got into that kind of conversation. That's why, bro.
Right. That sounds like it could be the traject. It also makes sense now why they made me in Citadel bus from Cleveland.
As long as they hit, right?
That's why the spread in the plane was just a little smaller, right?
Yeah. Dan, are you surprised that George Springer continues to do sort of, I would say, George Springer things?
Right. If you had asked me, 6 weeks ago, I think I would have said yes. I've changed my mind to no, and it's because having talked with him and just having heard him talk about it, he is going up to the plate with a totally different game plan this year, and he has stuck to that game plan. You know, we talk a lot about, as you guys know, how this team has the lowest strikeout percentage of any team in baseball, and that's great. George Springer is striking out more than he did each of the last 3 years, and it's totally fine because he's not trying to go up there and get his B or C or D swing off. He's doing what they tell him to do. Get your A swing off. He's trying to pulverize the baseball. And that comes with some swing and miss. And maybe, you know, he's 35 years old. There aren't that many guys 35 and over playing regularly. You know, maybe you've got to do that when you lose a tiny bit of bat speed. You get a little bit older. The reaction times maybe aren't as quick. And you go up there and you're cheating a little bit and you're just trying to get the head out, as you say, Kevin, and do some damage. And you know what? He's still hitting 260. He's not hitting 220. And 260 these days is above average. The major league average is like 243 or something like that. So I think he's done. Obviously, he and David Popkins and Lou Iannotti and Hunter Mentz went into the spring and had a meeting, and they all came out of the meeting and said, this is the game plan. Let's give it a try. And he has stuck with it. He's getting on the fastball. You know, once you get to two strikes, it's a different story. And I do hear George, and he just did it in the dugout maybe about an hour ago in a different context, but I do hear George, he's not always trying to pull the ball. And everybody knows there's more home runs to the pull side than up the middle or the opposite field. But he's a big part of the ballpark guy. You know, if you do things right, use the big part of the field, and every now and again, you'll get out in front of a breaking ball and you'll pull it, or your timing will be right to pull the ball. But I think mentally, Kevin, he's in the best place he's been in at least 2 years, maybe three, in terms of what is in his head when he walks up to the plate.
For me, they wouldn't be in a playoff spot without him. He might. You could almost argue he's the MVP of the team so far.
So this is a fascinating conversation because, and Joe and I were just talking, you know, sometimes you look at the lineup in 5 through 9, it's like Lucas, Jimenez, Clement, Classe, Straw, and they're winning. You know, these guys are all contributing, and they've all been tremendously important, what players like that are doing. But we shouldn't overlook the fact that Alejandro Kirk's having a way better year than he did last year. Bo Bichette's having a way healthier and much better year than he did last year. And George Springer is having a way better year than he did last year. Like, it's great when the complementary players step up and fill in the gaps and chip in here and there, and they're all doing that, and then some at times, especially Ernie Clement. But it's really hard to win without your big boys being your big boys. And that's a great conversation. If it's today's game 81, who would, if you did a poll, who would people think is the MVP of this team through the first half of the season? I bet you 6 or 7 guys would get votes if you put that,
That's fair.
No, that is absolutely, absolutely fair. Speaking of big boys, Vladdy Jr., what is your sense of concern the Jays have around him? Now, John said obviously he's not in the lineup tonight. John said they were going to run some tests to see if he'd be able to be available as a pinch hitter. I don't know if he's told if he's told you guys whether or not he's got the clearance for it. Or did you get a chance to talk to Vladdy? Did he?
I didn't see Vladdy, actually. I was in the clubhouse for about half an hour, and you guys know the Fenway visiting clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
If two people are in there, they're going to see each other.
Oh, they certainly are. They will certainly see each other. There's no doubt. Vladdy. Yeah,
okay. And I did not see him on the field either. You know, the guys came out and did infield, and some took BP and all that. So maybe he's going through that testing right now. You know, X-rays negative is the first bit of news that everybody wanted to hear, and they heard that yesterday. I would imagine it's sore. I mean, he got hit pretty good. So I don't know whether he's available. Obviously, we'll try to keep an eye and all the great people we have doing cameras and stuff like that. We'll keep an eye on him if a pinch hitting situation comes up. You'd sure love to have them. You know, they're playing well. The Red Sox aren't. You want to win a series, put the Red Sox a little further in the rearview mirror. Not that you can put them to bed here this weekend, but the Red Sox are in a bad spot right now. They've lost 5 in a row. They're below 500. And teams are starting to think about decision-making over the next few weeks. And, you know, there's something like 9 teams within 4.5 games in the American League. And these are 2 of them. So for the Blue Jays, these are big games. Hopefully, even if he's not available tonight, maybe he gets back in there tomorrow.
Dan, you know, you mentioned Jonathan Clase, and I think the first time you mentioned his name right there a few minutes ago, I thought big leaguer. Whenever you talk to him, more than I do. Does he talk like a big leaguer?
Yeah, I think so. He's a quiet guy, and his English is good enough to have short conversations, not to really have long conversations. Yeah. And he's actually on my list who I want to talk to a little bit longer, and I'll try to get the help of Hector LeBron to help with that. Classe is interesting, and you know this, Kevin. 99% of switch hitters started off as right-handed hitters.
Yeah,
and then they add the left side, either because you're going to face so many righties or you want to use your speed and be on that side of the box to get down to first. But I think he's the opposite, and that makes him a real rarity, and I want to talk to him about that. But he's still really interesting to me. I write his numbers down on my scorecard every time that he's in the lineup, like tonight, and the numbers don't jump off the page. But he's doing some things, whether it's a first to third, a second to home. You know, he had a 2-run single in that first game of the series in Cleveland. It was 4-1, and that made it 6-1. And then it was 6-4 in a heartbeat. Like, it was a 2-out. There might have been 2 strikes on him, too. And he got a second consecutive changeup, and he was batting from the right side and got a base hit into center field to drive home a couple of runs. You know, his routes in the outfield are not perfect. That, you know, that needs a little bit of work. He's gotten picked off once. There was a delayed steal that didn't go very well a couple of days ago. he's still learning. But, you know, not everybody gets to the same goal at the same pace or at the same age or anything like that. And he's got a pretty impressive toolbox. I'm not saying he's going anywhere,
yeah.
But I think he's the kind of guy that other teams would have an interest in that might say, you know what, we can work with that guy. Just like the Blue Jays say, right, yeah. When they got him last year. I like that they're giving him a little bit more run. I'm also glad Alan Rodon is in there, to be honest with you. You know, that I keep waiting for that big game, that big hit, driving a couple of runs, try to find it again. I mean, he was so good in the spring, and he's been dominating AAA when he went back down there. So, and like Joe and I talked about a couple of days ago, Varsho's coming back in 7 to 10 days. And somebody who's on the roster now, you know, barring injury, obviously, is not going to be on the roster then. And guys like Classe and Rodon, they're trying to show John Schneider and Ross Atkins and everybody that they should stick around.
Yeah. You know, I don't need to tell you, tonight will be the 81st game, the halfway point for this team. And hearing you talk about Jonathan Classe, one of the things that really sticks out about me to this team, and I know you've talked about this, and Buck and Joe have talked about it as well, but the Jays have basically been without their Gold Glove center fielder for most of the year. And yes, Jonathan Classe takes some interesting routes, but I don't expect any calamity in the outfield when the ball's hit. I mean, considering the fact you've got Lucas Rodon, Classe, Miles Straw, who's a terrific defender, that to me is one of the most remarkable things. Addison Barger's been in right field. There's really not been a drop off in the outfield defense. And you know what Buck always says, right? Make an error in the outfield, it's usually right. Two bases or a run.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they're, you know, one of the things they've got going for them is that Miles Straw is an outstanding center fielder. And when he's been out there, you've got, you've basically got Dalton Varsho defense, maybe a tick below, but you've got great defense out in center. It is interesting tonight. I think Lucas is in center and Classe is in left, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And I think there have been a time or two where that's been reversed, where Classe has been in center and Lucas has been in a corner. Yep. But I believe Nathan's in center field tonight. And I think Lucas is a, you know, perfectly capable outfielder in left, center, and right. And that's great. You know, sometimes when you say a guy is capable or average, people think that's it's not an insult. Average is average. Like, there are a lot of guys who are below average. Mm-hmm. And I think Nathan Lucas has done a very nice job defensively in all three spots. Classe, I remember one that was called a triple out in right center field. I don't remember where, when, last 2 weeks, maybe between a week and 2 weeks ago. That's the one that stands out to me. He can make up for some mistakes with his speed. And I think the arm is pretty good too. And you're right. They have a tremendous amount of outfield depth, and defensively there hasn't been much of a drop off. Addison Barger came or grew up as a shortstop,
right,
and then was a third baseman and never really started playing a lot in the outfield until last year. And he looks fine in right field. Like, he's handling the position when he is out there. So I think we've almost, not that we've taken the defense for granted. We all know how good it's been over the last couple of years, but there's been a lot of turnover, and this is still one of the three or four best defensive teams in baseball. Now, a lot of that are the two guys behind the plate who have been absolutely tremendous, both of them, Kirk and Heinemann. Obviously, Jimenez, he's not hitting, but he's been great at second base, Varsho, Straw, that sort of thing. I know the numbers don't love Bichette, but I think Bo's having a better defensive year than he had last year. And I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is having a good defensive year, yep, like a, if not his best, then maybe his second best to the Gold Glove year, which I think was 2022, if I'm not mistaken. They don't have a lot of negatives. Like, not everybody's a star, but even, you know, they don't have a lot of guys dragging them down defensively.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Last one, Dan, we'll let you go. When Jimmy Garcia comes back, which one of his buddies do you think that will help the most in the pen?
Who do I think it'll help the most in the pen? I'm gonna go off the board here and say Brendan Little, which I know is, you know, maybe the smart answer is Jeff Hoffman or Yariel Rodriguez or something like that. I would still like to see Little pitching a little bit less. He's got 37 appearances. I think that's three off the major league lead. And some of them are high pitch, high stress appearances, either because of the situation or because if he doesn't have his great command, you know, he can run up a pitch count pretty quickly. Two scoreless innings the other night was great. But You know, if Jimmy Garcia is on, and listen, they bring in Brandon Little to face righties and lefties. You, if Jimmy Garcia is on, bring him in to face righties and lefties. Right. So I think my answer, even though it may not make sense on the surface or may not make sense at all, is Brandon Little. I'd like to see still if they can use Little a little bit less than they have. Every inning they can save in that bullpen, to me, you can't. How do you quantify it? I don't know, but it has an impact. That base hit that Alejandro Kirk got in the ninth inning yesterday meant that Jeff Hoffman didn't come into the game. Chad Green came into the game. That might help them win a game tonight or tomorrow or Sunday. So, Jimmy Garcia had an encouraging outing with Dunedin last night. John Schneider, I don't know if you guys talked to Schneider about it or not. He's going to pitch in Buffalo Sunday, and then he's going to come up to Toronto Sunday night to, as Schneider said, quote, figure out the next step. He could be back Tuesday. Maybe they want to give him another one or something like that, but he could be back on the active roster during the Yankee series. And we shouldn't forget how good Jimmy Garcia is and how important he is. They need another dude in that pen. They might need two dudes in that pen, but let's hope Jimmy Garcia is one of them.
I like that word, dude.
Danny, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this,
thanks,
my friend.
Buddy.
Safe
You're
travels. Enjoy Boston.
All right, I'm going to tidy up my workspace next time you guys talk
to
me.
That's great.
No, it's quaint. Thanks, man. Be
See
well.
Yeah. But
Dan Shulman will have the call of the game tonight, along with Joe Siddle from Fenway Park. The cozy confines. I mean, they used to call it the cozy confines of Wrigley Field.
I love that press box.
Well, the press box.
Up. I do. I love it. It's, I love where they call games. The press box.
No, the press box
is really high
the
up.
The press box is neat. No, that's might be the best part of it.
I like it. Yeah, neat's a good word. I think that's the right word.
The clubhouse is no bueno.
Well, no, I think they fixed it up a little. It's nicer than it was. It ain't as big as – it ain't any bigger, but they've cleaned it up.
I mean, all I remember –
it was dirty when I was there, and I was tripling up.
All I remember is that
– I tripled up.
The visiting manager's office where the writers sit looks right into the shower. That's all I mean, you're basically tripping over people.
I know they fixed it. They've made it look nicer on the home side. I don't know if they've done that on the visiting side or not. Yeah. It ain't no bigger. No. I don't think they can make it any bigger, but it's nicer.
The home side was, the home side
smelled like a dead rat in there last time. It's awful.
I mean,
it was tripled up.
Visitor side is, I don't know what it's like now, but the manager used to do his interview sort of out in the concourse area because when the cameras were there, because you couldn't take cameras in the clubhouse because if your camera's focused on the manager, half the time you're going to catch somebody going by in the box.
I love that park. I like it. I think it's nice. Like the Cubbies. I like the Cubbies park too. I don't like everything off the field, but when you get on the field, just feels like you're part of history, which is pretty cool. It really is cool.
It is. I will say this, standing on the field for batting practice, there are a couple of places where you do that. That's really special. Fenway Park is one of them. Wrigley, not so much for me. Fenway Park's one of them. Yankee Stadium. And you know what used to be?
Well, not the new Yankee Stadium.
Standing in the field is still pretty neat. But the old Yankee Stadium was, and the one that really stood out to me, Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
The old Shea Stadium with
the ball.
That thing. I mean, you want to talk about a stadium. You looked up and it just kept going and going and going.
I love baseball.
Yeah.
I would have been chapped until I looked at my paycheck and I wasn't chapped anymore. But tripling up. I tripled up in Boston.
What is triple? Oh, you mean
it was two other people in the same locker as I was.
Well, you just
it ain't
turns.
Cool. I'm
you
a big league. No, that's not how you do it in the big leagues.
The older guy gets it first.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't remember how old I was.
No, but I mean,
swirly.
Yeah, I know why. I know you were swirly. I've heard the stories from Gibby.
Yeah, swirly.
Yeah.
AJ made fun of me a couple times.
Well, AJ made fun of everybody. AJ made fun of the writers.
He should.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You probably deserved.
Okay. I got along okay with AJ.
Hey, Mark, why don't you just not worry about it?
There you go.
Oh, boy.
You had to have a certain approach with AJ. That's all I'll say. You had to approach him in a certain way.
You had to be goofy. You had to be standing on Mars. That's all the only way I can say it. Like you and him on Mars by yourself.
Him and Ted Lilly, I remember.
Oh, my God.
Brad Arnsberg talking about Ted Lilly one time, saying we're all just visitors on the planet Ted Lilly.
That's true.
Really
throwing knuckleballs.
That's it us. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk following the game tonight, and we will be back on Monday. Have yourself a great weekend. Stay safe, and enjoy the baseball.